If you have any questions, feel free to call the station at 632-6901 and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Had about enough of that. Brain damage is in effect.
You have reached is not in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and dial again. You have reached a non-working 800 number.
This is Brain Damage. Brain Damage is a call-in program. That means that people out there who listen to the program can call in. And through a complex process, we take your voice off the phone and put it on the radio. And you can start the process by dialing 632-6901. And if you're outside the area code, 516-632-6901. If you're in certain parts of the country, 1-516-632-6901. If you're in an office, you might have to dial 9 first. If you're overseas, check with your local operator for overseas dialing instructions. The country code for the United States is 1. That's because we have good connections. We're talking tonight about the legend of Blue Star Acid. While LSD may be more a part of the 1960s than the present, having largely died out as a drug of choice, a long discredited rumor about the drug reappeared in a big way during 1986. There are dozens of reports from 4 states in 1 week alone in early 1987 about a kind of LSD called Blue Star Acid. The story just wasn't true, but the flashbacks continued. Here are the contents of a flyer that one reader sent in. A warning to all parents. According to police, a form of tattoo, Blue Star, is readily available to young children. It is a small sheet of white paper containing blue stars the size of a pencil eraser. Each star is impregnated with LSD and can be removed from the paper to be placed in the mouth. Absorption can occur through the skin by simply handling the paper tattoo. The spurious information and even the capitalized words, which were a warning to all parents, Blue Star and LSD, they vary only slightly among many photocopies of this warning circulated around the country. Sometimes a specific source, such as the San Diego police or a Kansas drug squad, is mentioned. Most warnings also include references to small colored paper tabs in circulation, likewise impregnated with acid and bearing the likeness of Mickey Mouse, Superman, or other cartoon characters. It is tricky to disprove the Blue Star Acid rumors definitively, since some forms of what narcotics agents call blotter acid, or paper acid, paper impregnated with LSD, did in fact circulate during the 1960s and 1970s. Some were imprinted with cartoon characters, and police sometimes refer to them as Snoopies. Occasionally, even today, blotter acid shows up in drug enforcement efforts. But seldom, if ever, was blotter acid distributed to children, and never was an actual paper tattoo or transfer used to transport LSD. A 1980 New Jersey State Police Narcotic Bureau bulletin did warn children may be susceptible to this type of cartoon stamp, believing it a tattoo transfer. But there is no evidence that any actual cartoon tattoos containing LSD have circulated among children. In the November 24, 1986 issue of Newsweek, Reporters investigated rumors in New York, New Jersey, Texas, Georgia, Kansas, and Nebraska before concluding only that some microdots of LSD resembling the blue stars may have existed about 15 years earlier. Here are four reports received in 1987, all within a single week. One of the flyers warning of the current threat circulated in the schools of Great Neck, New York, during early February 1987. The Nassau County Department of Drug and Alcohol Addiction checked into it and issued a statement saying that there was no validity to this letter at this time. On February 9th, the Columbia, South Carolina Record published a carefully researched article on virtually the same scare letter, which was making the rounds in schools and daycare centers. Law enforcement authorities pronounced the flyer to be bogus. A local agent of the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration said, "We haven't heard of LSD being circulated this way in years." On February 11th, the Tacoma, Washington News Tribune, impelled by hundreds of frightened parents who had called the Washington State Highway Patrol headquarters, assured readers that Blue Star LSD impregnated tattoos or decals were not, as rumor claimed, being sold in any area schools. The newspaper quoted a police spokesman, "We could not substantiate one case anywhere in the country." And the following week, there are reports of the flyer circulating in a number of cities in Illinois and Indiana. The Richmond, Indiana Palladium Item, even quoted from a past study made of a version of the legend, which was common in 1981 to 1982. Back then it was called Mickey Mouse Acid because this character was most often named in the warnings. But even at that time, the term Blue Star had begun appearing in many flyers. Lately, the Blue Stars are getting first mentioned, and the cartoon characters come into subsequent paragraphs. In addition, the warnings are becoming more elaborate. In August 1986, the Baltimore Evening Sun had reported hundreds of warning notices being distributed by teachers, pediatricians, and even in a Baltimore police precinct bulletin. One version of the story described a brain-damaged child dying in a Baltimore hospital after handling the Blue Stars. In an attempt to trace the rumor, the Sun followed up references on the flyers to San Diego, to an Elks Lodge in Idaho, and to several organizations throughout Maryland. The newspaper found not a shred of evidence that Blue Star ever existed. Needless to say, the story about the brain-damaged child turned out to be false. Another major study of the rumor was reported in the Philadelphia Inquirer in December 1986. Blue Star Tattoo, the article conceded, was something everybody has heard about and no one has actually seen. It's possible that some genuine police bulletins were misread by citizens and that the rumors already in circulation took off from there. In the Tacoma case, it appears that a police query, apparently itself a response to the rumor, was worded, "Have you seen any drug-laced tattoos?" This was then mistakenly repeated as, "We have seen many drug-laced tattoos." That's one way these stories build up steam. What follows is a column that was devoted to the subject, written by Jan Harold Brunvand, whose book we're also quoting from, a book of urban legends. Urban legends are stories that refuse to die and that appear in many different forms throughout our nation's cities. And here is a column that he devoted to this subject. "Am I spreading Blue Star Acid?" A reader who follows urban legends in the Milwaukee Journal wrote to me a while back to ask, "Do you think your column may have started a rumor about Blue Star Acid? Or was my experience just one of those things?" I wish I felt as confident deciphering the signature on this letter as I feel in answering these questions. No, I do not think my column spawned the Milwaukee area rumor about the supposedly deadly drug called Blue Star Acid, since the Blue Star story proliferated both before and after I debunked it here a year and a half ago. I quoted then from crudely typewritten and photocopied flyers that I had collected in communities from coast to coast. The flyers, most of them titled, "A Warning to Parents," purported to be factual bulletins about a local rash of LSD addiction. They claim that the drug was given to children on the surface of paper tattoos or transfers imprinted with blue stars and other designs. The warnings urged parents to watch for blue star acid in the hands of their kids, claiming that addiction and even death could result from children licking or even just touching the stars as they remove them from the paper. LSD, incidentally, is not considered to be an addictive drug. Wherever the blue star rumor has begun to circulate, local police have disclaimed any knowledge of the flyer's source and denied that LSD in this form was a problem in their community. And there are no records of any child licking a tab of blue star thinking it was a lick and stick tattoo. Why was I suspected of starting the local rumor? Well, my Wisconsin reader had never heard the story until reading about it in my column. Then, some weeks later, the reader said, a woman working in the same factory came up with something very important to be inserted into the plant newsletter. The important thing was a blue star acid warning flyer worded just as I had described it. Could I have unwittingly spawned the story in Wisconsin? It's not likely, considering that I quoted only a small part of an entire flyer in the first column. Besides, the blue star story has done very well on its own, despite my debunking attempt. Since the column appeared, I have received 27 pieces of mail from several states and Canada documenting further blue star acid scares. The letters contained either new versions of the same old flyer or copies of local newspaper stories quoting law enforcement authorities that debunk the rumors. I've been sent flyers issued by daycare centers, schools, lodges, and churches. Many of them are reproduced almost verbatim from earlier warnings, sometimes superimposed on a new group's letterhead. Most of the texts make heavy use of capital letters, underlining, and exclamation points, and they tend to include vague references like the Valley Children's Hospital or according to police authorities. The flyers often begin, "We have been informed," without stating who has informed whom. Many flyers use the phrase in reference to drug pushers that they hope to cultivate new customers. Channels of distribution include school and company newsletters, office bulletin boards, and even computer networks. Titles on typical flyers are Blue Star Alert, Fatal Tattoo, and Attention Parents. One flyer sent to me from the Midwest begins, "The following notice is appearing in many offices and publications." What an understatement. Unfortunately, several newspapers have printed such flyers without comment, assuming they were an official warning of some kind. These papers include the August 26, 1987 issue of the Griffin, Georgia Daily News, the November 19, 1987 issue of the Governor's Island Gazette, and the June 1988 issue of Oregon Education. Newspapers that assigned reporters to investigate blue star acid rumors all over the country, however, found no verification and headlined their stories accordingly: "No Cause for Alarm," Washington Post, June 2, 1988, "Only a Folk Tale," Dubuque Telegraph-Herald, October 6, 1987, "Tattoo Tripped Up," Chicago Sun-Times, May 20, 1987, but folklorists, journalists, and police authorities all saying there is no epidemic of blue star acid among children does not convince anyone. In the same period, I've received three letters from people asserting that the story must be true because blotter acid actually exists. Two of these letters came from prisoners who may have a prejudiced view of police information. The third letter merely claimed without evidence that drug-laced tattoos are not an urban legend. Okay, prove it then. Blotter acid, which I know exists, is not a tattoo, and tattoos or transfers are what these flyers claim is running rampant in dozens of communities. The designs on blotter acid cannot be peeled off. Merely handling these sheets is highly unlikely to pose serious health hazards. There would be very little profit potential in giving free LSD to youngsters. It's one thing to oppose, as I assure you I do, sales of illicit drugs and the personal and social problems such drugs cause. But it's quite another matter to base your opposition on scare tactics and fantasy, which is what these ubiquitous blue star acid flyers represent. That's the end of the column. And returning to the excerpt from the book, the most authoritative proof of the folkloric nature of the Blue Star acid flyers that I have found came not from a folklorist, but from a drug expert. Recently, I spoke to William Hopkins, director of the Bureau of Research for the State of New York Division of Substance Abuse Services, who described a statewide survey that his unit conducted in February and March 1988, in which the unit looked for problems with the stuff. A questionnaire was sent to 405 New York law enforcement agencies. After thousands of anonymous letters were circulated throughout the state, suggesting that Blue Star acid was an impending disaster. The survey asked the agencies to report their cases involving LSD, particularly acid in the Blue Star form, during the period 1985 through 1987. "And I'll bet you found very little Blue Star acid," I said. "Next to nothing. Almost nothing at all," Mr. Hopkins replied. "What next to nothing translates into in terms of statistics, for example, in 1987, was that of the 405 law enforcement agencies surveyed, 342, which is 84.4%, had no cases involving LSD of any type, and only three departments, 1%, had more than 20 LSD cases. In the very few instances where LSD cases were reported, less than half involved a Blue Star or cartoon imprinted on absorbent paper. The figures for 1985 and 1986 were comparable." The cautiously worded conclusion that Hopkins' office drew from the results of the survey was that these results tend to support our initial impression that the anonymous letters warning about Blue Star LSD was a hoax and should be treated as such. In the cover letter transmitting the survey results, the advice furnished to the state's drug agencies was to discourage the reprinting and circulation of the flyers because the rumored spread of LSD is generally unfounded. "The particular concern of drug abuse officers," Hopkins told me, "is that flyers of this kind could actually create a problem where none exist. Drug users may learn about Blue Star acid from the flyers themselves and then begin to ask for it from their suppliers. Where there's demand, a supply can be created. Ironically, then, the Blue Star acid flyers have the potential of bringing about the very situation that they purport to be fighting. So come on, folks, please stop duplicating and distributing these spurious notices." By the way, William Hopkins also has access to the finest collection of authentic blotter acid artwork that I know of. He sent me a full-color reproduction of samples from his division's stash of captured sheets. There's just one Mickey Mouse, and no Blue Stars among the many psychedelic and symbolic images. Although law enforcement officials, journalists, and folklorists continue to debunk the Blue Star acid rumor, as this book goes to press, the flyers continue to proliferate and the rumor still spreads. In autumn of 1988, I received copies of the by now familiar drug alert from readers in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Vermont, Wisconsin, Indiana, Delaware, Ohio, and Kentucky. In the New York, New Jersey area, the flyers became so widespread that the New York Times ran a story on December 9th, 1988, debunking the rumor. In November and December, I received a flurry of calls from Alaska about the story, the first one coming from a woman in Fairbanks who was disturbed by a safety and health alert notice that her first grader brought home from school. Some Alaskan authorities assumed that Blue Star acid was a genuine problem in the lower 48, but merely a rumor so far in Alaska. Not so. At around the same time, an employee of the U.S. Agency for International Development in Lima, Peru, saw virtually the same notice written in Spanish, posted in the U.S. Embassy and U.S. Aid offices. The Lima newspaper, La Republica, later picked up the warning and published an article cautioning parents against Estrella Azul Blue Star acid. Neither woman gave any credence to these apparently official warnings, though. Both had read about the Blue Star acid rumor in my 1984 book, The Choking Doberman, and they knew that it was untrue. Early in the new year, I received a call from David Manweiler, columnist for the Indianapolis News. Blue Star acid rumors were still rife in that city, with flyers coming home from school with the kiddies. As Manweiler quoted Captain Michael Sherman, head of the Indianapolis Police Department Narcotics Division, in his column on January 10th, We have not had that first seizure of this kind of transfer patches for LSD. I haven't received any concrete evidence that this has happened. We haven't found any of those transfers. Where have I heard that kind of explanation before? The moral, I suppose, is don't believe everything you read. And certainly don't believe everything you hear or see in mass media. And the book I've been reading from is called Curses Broiled Again by Jan or Jan, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, Brunvand. Published on Norton Books. And quite a few interesting stories in here. Some titles. Death in the Funhouse, A Bug in the Ear, Halloween Sadists, The Last Kiss, The Message Under the Stamp, The Snake in the Strawberry Patch, as well as Fifi Spills the Paint, The Crushed Dog, The Ice Cream Cone Caper, and a whole bunch of others, which I'm sure we'll get into in the weeks ahead. Well, the program is Brain Damage, and we have quite a bit of that. After talking about acid, it's my instinct to just go for the Patsy Cline, and I know it helps me feel a lot better. We'll take phone calls right after this, 632-6901 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Beer that makes you go buck wilding. This one should kill you.
Yeah. From Patsy Cline to Sister Solia here on the USB. Where else? You know, I don't know. The two of them just somehow remind me of each other. I suppose you could say they're different people, but there's just so much in there that that reminds me. Listen, for instance, to this incredible piece here.
What's up, sisters? You know we've all been played by a fast-talking, fly-looking, double-chocolate, low-down, cutie, but abusive brother before. Well, here's something for us to consider. If you're going with a brother and all you have is his beeper number, that is not your man. If you never met his mama, that is not your man. If you never been to his house, that is not your man. And like my great-grandmother used to say, who buys the goddamn cow when you can get all the milk for free? You gotta think, get off your knees. You gotta think, close your legs. You gotta think, raise the standard for the black woman.
I don't know. I just could play the two of them all day long. But since we've got a talk show here, we need to do some talking about various issues. And there's quite a few of them out there. So let's get to the phone. 632-6901. Good evening.
Thank you very much, Eric, in the evening.
How you doing?
If you want, Eric, 18 years ago today, just about 11 and a half hours from now, I resign the presidency of the United States. Who am I?
Well, gosh, how many presidents have resigned?
Well, that's up to you to decide.
How many presidents should have resigned, I guess is a better question.
Well, that brings me to issue two, Eric.
Uh-huh.
George Bush. Why not attack Yugoslavia and help the people in those camps? Have you seen those pictures?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is really starting to get very annoying, because I don't see how the world community can stand by and allow this to happen. How can we get so upset about, you know, Kuwait and not be upset about this?
Yes, I mean, we fight for oil, but we don't fight for people.
Well, you know, these are I guess, worthless people. These are Muslims. These are people that don't have a lot of money, as opposed to all those in Kuwait who are millionaires. And we had to stand up and defend them, right?
Yes, you know, I compare it to the German Holocaust.
Uh-huh.
Well, Hitler.
A lot of people are seeing a similar type of situation unfolding. And, you know, there's times where things are justified, and this is certainly as close as we've come in a while.
Yes, 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 yes.
I never thought I'd say something like that, but, you know, you can't stand by and watch these things happen.
I mean, I know I've heard people talk about you in the past, and I know you've been totally anti-war. But if this was to take place, if we were to attack Yugoslavia, would you support it?
Well, you see, I am anti-war, and that's why I want this to stop. And that's what's happening. A lot of innocent people are being killed, shipped off in trains, and horrible things happening to them. And by us not doing something about it, whether it be sanctions or just getting the whole world to do something, I mean, Yugoslavia cannot stand up to the entire world, can they? And I don't know any other country that supports what they're doing. So before it gets any worse, I think we've got to put an end to it.
I recently heard Senator Lieberman from Connecticut on a talk radio program much like your own,
mm-hmm.
and he said that if there was to be a war, the Europeans should head it because it's in their neighborhood.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I don't really go for that because, I mean, that put us in Nicaragua now, didn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes it's not the best policy. I think if the UN has any power whatsoever, any bite whatsoever, they should, you know, certainly do something here and be respected. Right now, it's, you know, it just seems like the United States is the only real power in the world, and that shouldn't be the way it is. It should be a coalition of countries.
Yes.
That's what the UN is.
Issue two. I recently saw in a picture of Rolling Stone magazine, saw a nice button that caught my eye. It said, Nixon for President 92, well rested and tanned.
Uh-huh.
I think I may run again.
Well, you know, God help us, somebody has to do something.
But it's not legal for him to run.
Hey, you'd know this. Is Agnew still alive?
Yes, he is.
He is? What happened to him? He hasn't said a word in like 6 years.
Well, he's very sick about now.
He is? With what?
He's getting old, and he has a disease.
Yeah.
I'm not sure right off the top of my head. I could look it up and call you back next week.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you do that, and, you know, say hi to Spiro for us.
Yes. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for calling.
I'm up.
All right, 632-6901. Good morning.
Whatever happens to old money?
What happens to old money? You know, old money is burned.
It is?
Yeah, it's the Treasury Department takes it and burns it up because, you know, it doesn't. So I don't know what happens to old coins, but certainly old currency it happens to. And I've asked the question many times, and other people have too. Who would it hurt if they simply gave all that money to the poor? And you know, of course, it would screw something up, I guess.
Inflation.
But, But would we notice it? You know, would we notice if there was, say, $1 million extra dollars floating around? I don't know.
Yes, were dollar bills printed in the 1970s?
Yeah, sure they were.
How come we don't see any bills with 1970 written on them?
Well, what's the earliest bill that you do see?
I see 1985.
And nothing before then, huh?
No.
Because there were certainly bills in the 1970s and the 60s and well before that. In fact, bills from the 50s... You might know this from a Honeymooners episode where they were on a game show, and they asked how many times the word one appears in a $1 bill. And it doesn't match the number of times a one appears on today's dollar bills. Dollar bills back then were different. They looked pretty much the same, but it had a couple of extra phrases. For instance, it said payable to the bearer in silver on demand. And it doesn't say that anymore. So, yeah, they printed bills back then. You certainly don't see them floating around, which is why it's good to save a few.
What about coins from the 1950s? We barely see any quarters or dimes from the 50s.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, of course, they stopped making them, and maybe people grab them. I don't think they really throw those out.
You said the Treasury Department burns dollar bills, but how do they burn them? They steal them from people and burn them?
I don't really know how they manage this. I think it's got something to do with the banks. Yeah, they probably trade with the banks. They give the banks nice, crispy new bills, and the bank gives them old bills in return.
Do you believe in psychics?
Do I believe in psychics? Well, you know, sometimes you have to get desperate, and I think, there certainly are times in our lives when we could use a psychic or two.
What about UFOs?
UFOs? Oh, yeah. Of course. How could you not believe in UFOs? In an infinite universe, you know, how could you say that there's no such thing as something that's unidentified? It doesn't make sense to me.
I believe
UFOs are, you know, controlling John F. Kennedy or something like that, that's a different question.
I believe that maybe 97% of all UFOs reported are false, and the other 3 are real.
Well, if even 1% were real, that's a significant number.
Did you see the one in... Do you watch Unsolved Mysteries?
No, I try not to watch shows like that because they tend to sensationalize and not really get the facts right.
You know about the UFO crash in New Mexico in 1947?
I don't know that one particularly.
Oh, well, there was a UFO crash in 1947 in New Mexico, and... there was four dead aliens in there, and there was many witnesses to it, and 6 people from an archaeology group were there, and they saw this, and a rancher there, and the military, and a man from the military on his deathbed said that he saw the aliens.
Uh-huh.
The government said that all this wreckage was a weather balloon, and yet they escorted it with planes and military men to some base around the world. I think that's very false.
Huh.
They're covering up. Why did they cover up?
You got to think it out. You know, if a UFO did land, what would the probable reaction of our government be? Cover it up is certainly a logical thing. The only thing is, they'd also send disinformation out and make it look like people were crazy that thought these kind of things existed. So what we need are some, you know, sane people that can follow this thing quietly and collect facts until they have enough facts to really... show a good story to people.
How would you react if a UFO landed in New York City tomorrow? How would you react? Would you just be surprised or?
Well, it'd probably be quite a crush to see it. So I don't think I'd be in any position to get there before anybody else. I think a better question is if it landed in my backyard or something. Then I'd certainly ask a few questions. Of course, I wouldn't expect much of an answer because it's kind of hard to. To communicate with extraterrestrials, I understand. That's what I'm told.
Is Walter your dog?
Yes, he is.
Is he here right now?
No, he's not. He couldn't come in tonight.
When the siren rings by the fire department, does he howl?
In fact, he does. He does howl when that siren goes off. And it's pretty incredible. He even howls for sirens in neighboring towns that you can barely hear. And
where do you live? In what area?
In what area?
Oh,
the Suffolk County area, yes.
Around the Setauket?
Suffolk County. Definitely Suffolk County. That's about as much detail as I'm prepared to give out.
Where is Stony Brook?
Stony Brook?
I'm from South Shore of Long Island.
You don't know where Stony Brook is? How can you not know where Stony Brook is if you live on Long Island?
I never go there.
Well, we're the center of the universe, really. It's the North Shore.
The North Shore?
In between Port Jefferson and St. James.
Oh, okay.
That's where we are.
Do you speak any languages?
Yes. Fortran and, a little bit of basic. And some D-base, too.
What do you mean?
And English as well.
You speak German?
German, what's that?
You speak German language?
No.
You don't? You go to Holland, though.
Yeah, right, but you don't have to speak German to go there.
What's the official language in Holland?
Dutch.
Dutch?
Yeah, and you really don't have to speak that because everybody there speaks English. Oh. And they speak Dutch, too. And German.
You know, Star 57?
And Spanish and French. What?
Star 57.
What's $1.57?
No, Star 57.
Star 57 is call trace.
Yes.
Yeah, that allows you to trace a call.
Won't company not tell us Star 57?
No, they don't tell you about that. I don't know why.
Any more codes?
But Star 69 is call return. Now it costs 75 cents.
What about any more codes that you know?
Any more codes?
Yeah, codes.
Star 66, repeat dial.
Any more?
Star 70, defeat call waiting.
What's that?
Well, do you have call waiting?
No.
All right, well, if you did, you can turn it off by dialing Star 70.
Why would you want to turn off call waiting?
Well, let's say you're talking to me on the phone and you don't want some idiot to call you and make your call waiting go off. You simply dial Star 70 before you make your phone call, and then it won't, it'll give it a busy signal.
Yeah, when's your birthday?
Sorry?
When's your birthday?
It's during the year.
Oh, what day?
Well, I can't say that over the radio. It's an FCC violation.
No, it's not. I think rule about talk about other host show.
Yes.
Is false.
Well, you see, now you have to take that up with the chairman of the FCC, then. We can't go...
Is that your rule or FCC rule?
I'm sorry?
Is that your rule or FCC rule?
We have all these FCC rules that we have to abide by, including, like, where we can position certain pieces of furniture. It's, you know, people, we're regulated like crazy around here.
Uh-huh. You watch Olympics?
You know, I'm told I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm sorry, what?
You watch Olympics?
Yes, I saw a couple of them.
Yeah.
I heard we won the gold in basketball.
Well, what sport do you like best?
Of the Olympics, it's kind of hard to say. You know, I like the things that where individual talent is emphasized. Team spirit is good too, but I think the Olympics should be for individuals more than anything. So the gymnastics, I think, are really fun to watch. What people can do with their bodies is amazing.
You know who Bobby Fischer is?
Yeah, he's going to play Boris Spassky again. I understand.
Why not he play chess for so long?
I don't know. He won the title for Boris Spassky back in 1972, has not played since. Well, I imagine he's played a game since, but has not defended his title. In fact, he lost his title because he refused to defend it.
Where he lived all year?
I heard he thinks that people are out to kill him, and he's gotten real paranoid.
Where did he live all those years?
I'm not sure. Someplace hidden. Some part of the world where nobody knows where he is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Confucius say.
Yes.
School boy who messed around with school girl.
Uh-huh. They go so well together. And we're playing this from the lost tapes, of course. Well, let's see what's going on in the world. And amid growing tension, UN inspectors delayed their search for weapons materials and work in their hotel Saturday because of what Iraq called its most important national holiday. The 22-member Russian-led team is to start its inspections of Iraqi facilities on Sunday. Iraq has said it would not allow the UN weapons experts to search government ministries. The Russian team leader has asserted the right to search any site, and President Bush has said he firmly backs that right. Iraq's refusal to allow an inspection team into the Agriculture Ministry last month brought a tense three-week standoff in which Washington made veiled threats of military retaliation. Got the grand conclusion here. Let's listen. That's talent when you can get two superstars like that together and have no animosity. Why? In fact, there's even a rumor that the two of them were. Oh, I won't get into that in this family show here, but it's quite a sight to see the two of them in concert together. Continuing with the news here, President Bush says there are no fundamental differences between the United States and its allies on reluctance to use force in the strife-torn former Yugoslav Republic. Strangely worded sentence there. There are no fundamental differences between the U.S. and its allies on reluctance to use force in Yugoslavia. Okay. Bush met at his main vacation home with top national security aides on the crisis in the Balkans. Afterward, the president told reporters that there isn't an easy formula. If there was, we would have put it into effect before now. He reiterated his earlier statement that nothing is ruled in or out in terms of military force and that we are not going to get bogged down in some guerrilla warfare. Bush said the U.S. is continuing to work with U.N. Security Council members on the substance of a resolution. Interesting piece in today's paper, too, about this. Bush yesterday vowed to keep politics out of his decision on whether to use force to aid relief workers in Bosnia-Herzegovina, but then took a swipe at Democratic presidential nominee Bill Clinton, who has accused Bush of timidity, yes, in the crisis. Listen to this. There are a lot of voices, this is Bush, a lot of voices out there in the United States today that say use force, but they don't have the responsibility for sending somebody else's son or somebody else's daughter into harm's way, and I do. It's amazing. I mean, why didn't he say that 2 years ago? But he was very eager to get involved then. This is not a political matter, Bush said. This is a matter of humanitarian concern, and I will not engage the other on this particular issue. Bush's comments came in response to criticism by Clinton, as well as Democratic members of Congress and some Republicans, that Bush has been too hesitant in responding to the violence in the former Yugoslav republics and reports of Nazi-style abuses by Serbs there, including the establishment of concentration camps. The president stepped out on the issue on Thursday when he called for a UN resolution authorizing the use of force to protect shipments of food and medicine into Bosnia. Bush vowed to press hard for speedy passage of the resolution. Although Clinton applauded Bush's statement, the Arkansas governor has advocated using the U.S. military not only to secure aid routes, but also to attempt to restore the basic conditions of humanity in the war-torn areas. Bush told reporters yesterday pictures of the prisoners rounded up by the Serbian forces and being held in these detention camps are stark evidence of the need to deal with this problem effectively. And the world cannot shed its horror at the prospect of concentration camps, Bush said. The shocking brutality of genocide in World War II in those concentration camps are burning memories for all of us, and that can't happen again. And we will not rest until the international community has gained access to any and all detention camps. We will not rest. You know, he said that just a few days ago, too. He said, I will not rest until every American that looks for a job, that is looking for a job, has found one. Strikes me that George Bush is not going to be resting for quite some time. He will not rest until every American has a job, and now he says he will not rest until the international community has gained access to all detention camps. I don't know. This guy's got insomnia. I don't think we should be waiting for him to get rest to solve these problems here. It's obvious. He's buying for time here because there's no easy way out. Bush yesterday denied that critical statements by Clinton and others have pushed him into a hard-line position. He also vowed to continue to approach with caution the question of sending troops to Bosnia. I do not want to see the United States bogged down in any way into some guerrilla warfare. We lived through that once, and yet I have a lot of options available to me, and I will contemplate everyone very seriously, but in conjunction with the United Nations. That's the story as far as that goes. A spokeswoman for Democrat Bill Clinton thinks President Bush's news conference on the former Yugoslav republics has produced no new information and therefore has not changed Clinton's position. D.D. Myers says it's clear everyone wants to see the humanitarian crisis end without the use of force, but she adds Clinton still believes the international community must take action, including the use of force, to end the atrocities in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Clinton has supported the use of airstrikes but has avoided endorsing the use of ground forces. This is incredible, though. Democrats advocating military action and the president is shying away from it. What do you make of that? Is this a political issue, or is there something bigger here? Republicans don't want to get involved when there's human lives at stake, but do want to get involved when there's money at stake. I don't know. It just seems so strange. Everything is flip-siding. 53% of the people responding to a Newsweek poll says say that the United States ought to take the lead in seeking UN-backed airstrikes against Serbian forces if they continue to block the delivery of relief supplies in Bosnia. A similar percentage think American forces ought to take part in airstrikes against Serbian forces in Bosnia under those circumstances. Respondents also split 38% to 38% on whether they approved of how President Bush is handling the situation. And let's see if there's anything else that's interesting here. Well, of course, the basketball team won a 117-85 victory against Croatia. Michael Jordan led the Americans with 22 points. And rapper Ice-T, whose song Cop Killer created a storm of national protest, has brought a $1 million... I'm sorry, okay, this is what he's done. He's bought a $1 million home, that's what he's done, in the Sunset Strip area of Los Angeles. A real estate agent says Ice-T moved out of his Hollywood Hills home because he likes to work at home, and one of his neighbors asked him to turn down the volume. Imagine that, having Ice-T living next door to you. The agent told the Los Angeles Times that Ice-T wanted a place with soundproofed rooms and a fourth bedroom. Ice-T recently pulled the controversial song Cop Killer off his Body Count album, then after law enforcement groups called for a boycott against Time Warner, the media conglomerate that owns Warner Brothers Sire Records. Warner Brothers Sire released the Body Count LP. And finally, from today's Newsday, public safety officers on the campuses of the State University of New York would become more like regular police officers if the State University and the state legislature adopt the recommendations of a special university-wide task force on campus safety. Basically, what this means is that if they follow these recommendations, campus police, like the ones here at the one here at Stony Brook, would be able to go off campus, not just to go to 7-Eleven and the deli, but to actually investigate crimes. If somebody steals something on campus, they can go to their home and lecture them, I suppose, or do whatever is needed. Right now, they can't do that. They have to stay on campus. So that's the deal as far as that goes. As far as arming police officers or university police officers, both Stony Brook and Farmingdale are considering this. And according to this special university-wide task force, they prefer to leave those decisions up to campus presidents. And that decision here has not been made. That's the story there. It's 1 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage. Good morning. You're on.
Hey, Eric. What's up? How you doing?
How you doing?
Huh?
What's up?
What's up? I was watching Channel 5 the other day, what's happening over there with those Muslims.
Yeah, in Bosnia.
That's really something. There was one guy that the reporter managed to talk to, and he asked him, you know, like, how did he feel being there and everything, and then when they finished, he came back and he told them, come back tomorrow to see if I'm still alive, you know? It's really, and then they showed pictures of a guy they really beat up, and it's really horrible over there.
There's a lot of animosity that's been festering, and, you know, it's one thing, and you can say a totalitarian regime is bad for some things, but it's also good in keeping people from, you know, going at each other's throats, and this has been happening for decades, even centuries.
Why is that?
Well, when Yugoslavia broke up, when Tito died, really, he was the force that held it all together. Then when the whole Eastern Bloc and the Soviet Union began to crumble, and Yugoslavia began to crumble as well, suddenly there was a lot of nationalism that was unleashed that could actually happen. And the fear now, and Boris Yeltsin sees this, the fear is that the same thing could happen in the Soviet Union. Yugoslavia is a microcosm of the Soviet Union and their ethnic strife. Now imagine if it did, because you've got the Black Sea forces there, you've got the nuclear weapons on various sides. It could really be a horrible situation. So, you know, what Yeltsin and other leaders there are doing is, you know, being kind of conciliatory towards each other.
Hopefully
cooler heads will prevail over there.
Yeah, I heard the president didn't want to go over there yet with with military yet or something like that.
I was talking about this with a few friends of mine, and one of them said, and this is a very good point, you know, what are the Russians saying about this? What are the other countries in Eastern Europe saying about this? We should listen to them.
Yeah.
It is in their backyard, and they do have much more riding on this, so let's hear what they have to say and
take
their advice.
They don't say nothing about it.
Well, no, it's not that they don't say anything about it. It's that we don't hear what they say. It's not reported here.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
So I think what we should all do is get out our shortwaves and hear it for ourselves. It's not called Radio Moscow anymore, I don't think. It's called Radio Russia.
Uh-huh.
But we should listen and see what they're saying. You know, I'll try to listen and see what I can get.
Yeah, I like the point you gave a few shows ago. Why does the United States always have to police, you know, why... You know, police the world. You know,
we're the cops of the world, my friend.
Yeah, you know, like with the war last year and now with this stuff happening over here. Like, you know, you only hear United States, you know, doing anything. You know,
well, now why do you think? I mean, you know, you had Iraq, you had Panama, you had Grenada. Why is it that you know Bush and Reagan were so eager to get involved in those situations, and yet when it's something like this, it's so obviously horrible? They're being very cautious and careful.
Yeah, it's like, it's really horrible over there. Like, all these guys, like, all skin and bones, you know? Like, it's really, you see them, like, eating one piece of bread and stuff like that. That's really something, you know?
Uh-huh.
But, oh, well, you know, that's I guess the world we live in, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yo, Eric, when are you gonna, do teleconference again?
Next week, I think, we'll do some teleconferencing.
That sounds cool.
All right?
Yeah, okay, all right. So, you know, have yourself a good night. I'm out of here.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for calling. 632-6901, good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Oh, not much, actually. Well, actually, a lot of things are up, but with me personally, not much.
All right, that's what I wanted to know.
Ah, what's up with you?
Not much, really.
Yeah?
Yeah, just went out today, watched a movie at my friend's house. Not much, big.
What movie did you watch?
Papillon.
Ah, that's with Dustin Hoffman, right?
And Stephen Queen.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's good you can go out and get virtually any film there is these days.
I wish.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's a lot you can't get, but there's a lot you can get, you know?
No, we went to Blockbuster Video, and then we went... Oh, can I say names or no?
Yeah, go ahead. You know, I'll even go on a tangent about Blockbuster, you know? It kind of bothers me that these people... You know, they've got all of us. Everyone's got a Blockbuster card now. It's impossible to get a Blockbuster card under a different name than your own name. What this means is that they keep a list of all the videos that you rent. And if you, you know, rent strange, suspect videos, you could be flagged by somebody, you know, who would look at that list and say, hey, how come this person is watching these things? You know, and check it out if you don't believe me. They keep logs in their computers of what you watch, what you see. And they don't do anything with it now, I don't believe, but they could or somebody else could. And that's awfully troublesome when you have a centralized thing like that.
No, but the thing is, we went to Blockbuster Video. They didn't have a movie we were looking for, so then we went to Movie Madness in Middle Place.
Uh-huh.
And neither of them had Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, that's a great film.
I know, neither of them had it.
Oh, I've got that on videotape myself.
I know, it's like none of the movies have it. They don't have any of like Woody Allen's classics either.
Uh-huh.
Like Bananas, Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex.
You mean they don't carry it, or
they don't carry it. They don't have them.
Really, that's unusual.
I know. It's like I felt like balling the guy out, being like, "What do you mean you don't have Cool Hand Luke?"
Well, that's terrible. That's a classic.
I know. I know where the fish. I know where the fish guy's been hiding.
The fish guy?
The Fisher guy, the chess player.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? What's his first name?
I don't know. I forget. Oh. I don't even know.
Boris Spassky and.
Something.
Why can't I remember his name? Well, anyway, yeah, what about him?
He's been hiding in that bomb shelter in Virginia.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he's with Elvis, Kennedy, Morrison. He's with all the hiding guys.
Really? Well, they must be having one heck of a party down there.
They are, man. They got like Bugs Bunny acid and Bart Simpson acid down there.
Yeah, all those kind of... Have you ever heard that story before?
No.
Really? No Blue Star acid stories around here, huh?
No, not recently.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
So what do you think of us going over to the Gulf?
The Gulf? I can't believe we're even considering going over to the Gulf when there's all this other nonsense going on.
What do you think about them calling it war games?
Well, they love war games. I know that.
Oh, you were talking about the dollar bills before?
Yeah.
I have a 1956 dollar bill.
You do? And it is different, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know that circle to the right of Washington's head?
Circle to the right of Washington's head. Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, that used to be in blue. The ones used to be written in blue and stuff.
Uh-huh. And also, they say different things on them, right?
Yeah, I believe. I haven't looked at it in a long time.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, when I saw it, I was like, what's the deal with this? Then like I looked at the year, I was like, oh, cool.
Wow. Well, you should hold on to that. No matter how desperate you might get, hold on to that dollar bill.
I lost it.
You lost it?
Well, actually, it got stolen from me.
Oh, I don't believe this.
I know. Neither did I. I was like, oh, man, that's my lucky dollar bill, too.
Wow.
But it was replaced by a bicentennial $2 bill.
Well, those aren't too hard to find. Are they bicentennial?
No, well, they made them afterwards. They still make them in Massachusetts, Boston, but bicentennials are very hard to come by.
Uh-huh.
But I got one since.
I have bicentennial quarters. And
yeah, I have a bicentennial quarter, a bicentennial nickel.
Mm-hmm.
That could be because I'm a bicentennial baby. So.
That could be.
Also, before, you were calling it Yugoslavia. It's not Yugoslavia anymore.
It's not Yugoslavia. It's part of it is Yugoslavia. You see, Serbia and...
Croatia.
No, not Croatia. Croatia is independent.
I know.
Montenegro, I believe, are both the only two provinces left in Yugoslavia.
Did you ever get that PMRC information you ordered?
Somebody's picking up the phones, and it's really bothering me because they're losing all our calls, so I hope they stop doing that. I'm sorry, what?
Did you get your PMRC information that you ordered?
I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, when you get it, you're going to read it over the air?
Yes, I intend to.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll get some tapes as well.
Because that way you can inform us what they're up to.
Yeah. Okay?
What?
I'll do that, I promise.
All right, that's good. I can see the similarity between Sister Soulja and, what's her name?
Patsy Cline.
Yeah, Patsy Cline.
They're soul sisters, I think.
Well, maybe Aretha Blonde, Aretha Franklin's in on that group, too.
I don't think so. I think it's,
she dropped out early,
it's too
though.
Mainstream.
She might have dropped out, though.
Uh-huh.
And, were you talking about the, Ice-T thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen New Jack City?
I have not yet seen that, believe it or not.
It's a good movie, and Ice-T plays a police officer in it.
Yeah, I heard about that. What kind of character does he play, though?
He plays, he got his partner killed, so, like, he's not in very good, but he's an undercover officer who, like narcotics officer.
Uh-huh.
But he's, like, way out of the mainstream of a police officer.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Well, you said you were watching a little of the Olympics?
Well, not very much, actually.
Well, what do you think of Lithuania beating the unified team?
That was quite a slap in the face, I would imagine.
That's what I said when I heard it. I was like, oh, man, they're probably so happy now.
Yeah. Did you hear the Lithuanian team had its uniforms donated by the Grateful Dead?
They were. They were tie-dyed.
The tie-dyed. I heard about this. That's the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
I saw it. I was like, that's cool.
Deadheads in Lithuania. I don't know. I've seen everything now.
I looked at it. I was like, I hope they sell that in JCPenney. It's like they sell all the USA stuff. I hope they sell that. I'd pick up.
Uh-huh.
Also, do you remember, a couple weeks ago, I was telling you all celebrities who were libertarians?
David Letterman?
Yeah. Jimmy Walker?
Yeah.
I have another one to add onto that list that I recently found out.
Okay.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood is a libertarian.
Yes.
But he's also a mayor, isn't he? Or is he not mayor anymore?
Oh, you're thinking of Sonny Bono.
Yeah, but wasn't Clint Eastwood mayor first?
I don't think so.
Was it the same town even? I'm not sure, but Clint Eastwood was mayor of some California town.
If an actor can become president, I think they could become mayor.
Oh, I believe so, too.
I was watching the news.
Uh-huh.
Remember Quayle went after Murphy Brown?
Yes.
For having the baby out of wedlock?
Right.
Well, if he's, pardon the expression, but he's bitching about her having the baby out of wedlock, but yet he's bitching about abortions.
Right.
What do you want her to do? Do you want her to have the baby or have an abortion? Make up your mind here.
Oh, you can just never satisfy him.
I don't know.
He's got a lot of things on his mind. Can't really blame him.
All right, that's about it.
Okay.
Say hi to some people.
Go ahead.
I want to say hi to Tom, Amy, Damon, Craig, Jay, Mark, Steve, Eric, Javi, and that's it.
Okay.
Just want to leave you on this note.
Okay.
Best government is the government that governs least.
All right, well...
That's by Thomas Jefferson, a classic libertarian.
Well, that's cool.
Also, I wanted to know, I got to talk to you about something. I don't feel like taking up airtime, though. Should I be able to call you up after the show, either on the hotline number or the 6500 number?
It's kind of tough. You can try.
All right, because I got to talk to you about something.
Okay, well, give it a shot.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
632-6901, and it's 12 minutes after 1 o'clock. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good. People, like some weird guy was picking up the phone before. I don't know if you knew.
Well, hopefully he was ushered out of the studio. I don't know who it was. But we do get weird people in here sometimes that do stupid things, but...
He was, like, cursing me out and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, they let people in the studio. You don't get, like, your own personal little...
Well, you know, sometimes people just wander in. You know, you got all these strange people that wander around, and, you know, sometimes they're here. Sometimes they have shows here, too, but hopefully it won't happen anymore. But you got through it a second time, so that's all that matters.
Right. So what is this? I'm not sure. What is this thing with Sister Soldier that she's, like, with Bill Clinton and all? I never really heard the full story on that.
Well, I think she's just not very, you know, happy with Bill Clinton as a leader for the black community, which is really all the black community has right now since... you know, nobody else is running that supports the black community at all. You know, I think it's just a bit of discontent. And, I mean, we all know that Bush is nowhere near the black community, and I'm sure she knows that, too. You know, the thing is, with anything left of center, there's a lot of infighting. I think that's what you're seeing here, because they're basically on the same side. But there's bickering going on as to how to go about making the changes that need to be made.
So she just doesn't like him?
Well, you know, she's you know, kind of radical in her expressions in the eyes of most people. And Clinton is to the left of center, certainly. But, you know, they just don't see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people don't see eye to eye on certain things. There shouldn't be all this publicity about it, I don't think.
Sure. You know what really hurts, though?
What's that?
When you hit yourself in the balls with a hammer.
Uh-huh. Well, hopefully you all experience that many times. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
This is Chris from Patrick.
How you doing? You sound tired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I've just been hanging out. I got pretty lucky to get through.
You did?
Yeah. That guy who just called?
Uh-huh.
No, he was such a character on the air. He was serious at the beginning about getting cursed out.
Uh-huh.
Because I tried before, and some guy answered. And he, like, shocked me because he didn't answer, like, USB or anything.
Well, don't tell us what he said, but...
Oh, I know. I was just like, hello, and then he just cursed me out and hung up on me.
Really?
Okay. And I kept trying back.
Who did it sound like?
No one I've ever heard.
Really?
To be honest, he sounded like an immigrant.
Sound like an immigrant, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, so how's things going over there?
Things are going okay.
So what are some discussions for the night? Because I only sort of just tuned in.
Well, we're talking about, you know, military intervention in Bosnia and things like that. We're talking about Blue Star Acid and,
What it?
You know, Blue Star Acid. This is rumor going around that people can, you can... rub off a tattoo of acid, pretty much, and it's a danger to school kids. It's been proven to be a hoax, but we're just wondering how many people have heard the story.
I never heard it.
Yeah, well,
I never have, always.
It's been around over the past decade or so.
I heard a couple of weeks ago, actually like 2 weeks ago, about some new disease.
New disease?
But yeah, it's called Lepine disease.
Tell me about it.
It's like, to be honest, I didn't even hear much.
Uh-huh.
All I know is it's among the gay community.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot, who did I hear from? This kid that I'm friends with, his mom works for, like, you know, the lab or something.
Right.
I hear all this stuff, and it's just some disease among gays or something, and it works like leprosy.
Really?
In a sense, and it's messed up. I don't know. I thought maybe you heard about it.
How do you spell it?
Lepine disease?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I'll look into it.
I know, you know, it's just...
There's so many diseases floating around now that, you know, you can easily fall behind.
I mean, I don't really want to say what falls off, but I think you know. You can figure it out.
Okay, well, we'll definitely check into this a little further.
I know.
All right?
I don't know. To me, I don't believe it, but...
Uh-huh. It could be one of these urban legends floating around, but we'll have to check into it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, not really, but can I just say hi to a few people?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say hi to... Mike and Jeremy and Kevin and Matt. Matt, have a good trip on Monday, just in case I don't get to talk to you today. Sorry I ditched out on you guys tonight, but good night anyway.
Okay. All right,
I'll catch you later.
Okay, why did you ditch out on them?
Oh, no, see, I was supposed to go over Mike's house, and just something happened, and I ended up going over my girlfriend's house.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get a ride over there.
You know, you make lifelong enemies doing things like that.
Oh, they don't hate me.
me.
Well, they could be talking about you right now in a closed environment.
Yeah.
Well, I hope the week brings brighter days.
The big one has exploded.
Right. Thanks for calling. Good evening.
Yes, first of all, Clint Eastwood was the mayor of Carmel.
Carmel, California?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. And what town is Sonny Bono the mayor of?
Yes. And second, I was being cursed out.
Uh-huh.
And he had a Spanish accent on.
Really?
Yes, I called 3 times and he hung up on me.
Wow, cursing Spanish, that's kind of weird.
I think you should lock the studios.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't quite know what's going on. I thought they were locked.
Yes,
but we do have cursing people with keys around here.
Yes. My name is Cornelius.
Uh-huh.
You know where I come from?
No. Where do you come from?
Planet of the Apes.
You come from the Planet of the Apes?
I'm an ape. Have you ever seen those movies?
Yeah, I saw, what is it, 5 of them? And there was a TV show, too.
Yes, I'm Cornelius.
Right, I know who you are. I know you're kind of like a light-skinned ape.
I won't take up much of your time. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Blonde hair, I believe. What?
I won't take up much of your time. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Oh, you said that twice now. What?
Okay. Do you think apes should be allowed to play pro sports?
Should apes be? I don't think apes can play pro sports.
They can play basketball.
What would be the point?
They can play basketball.
Do you think so?
Yes. As a Gilling. What about an equal rights amendment for apes?
I don't think that would be fair to the apes.
Have you
to
seen
be treated
my wife,
as humans.
Have you seen my wife, Sarah?
Your wife, Sarah?
Sarah.
No. Was she in the films, too?
Yes, she was my wife.
Uh-huh.
I have a big announcement. I am running for governor of New York in 1993.
Is 1993 the election year for governor?
I believe so.
Well, you better check.
And you know Mr. Bush who calls every week?
Yes.
You're not allowed to talk about him. He's a host of the sports show. So
really?
You're not allowed to ask him any more questions.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's quite a revelation. I hope...
It's been said 3 times already on the show.
Never in that way.
Uh-huh. Would you think animals are homosexuals? Do you think there can be homosexual animals?
In fact, I don't know where I read this, but there was a study I read recently that said that there is quite a bit of homosexual activity with animals. And a lot of what they call pansexual activity, which means that they're not really attached to one particular mate for life or for even one particular moment of time. I don't know where I saw this. I don't know why I was watching this. I saw a video of some particular kind of animal being given food, and before they ate the food, they had sex, and it was like it was something they had to do before they could have. I don't know. It was really weird. And also these two animals got into a fight, and it turned into a sexual experience for them, and they were both female.
Do you have a dog?
Of course. Everyone has a dog.
Oh, well, do you have any stuffed teddy bears at home?
No. They've all mysteriously vanished. Why?
Does your dog ever have sexual intercourse with anything? Any bears or pillows?
Well, that could explain an awful lot, you know.
I'm not trying to be rude or...
No. You're being very helpful, in fact. Good Lord, could it be? Well, I'll have to look into this. Can I get back to you on it?
Yes. Did you listen to the Outrageous show last week?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't hear the story that Mark told?
No, I didn't.
He and 3 of his friends went into a bar, and he asked the bartender if he wanted to sit along the railing on him and his friends wanted to sit along the railing and watch television. And there was only one stool there, and he said to the bartender, I'd like to sit down with my three friends. So, and the bartender said, no, I'm sorry, there's only one there. And the bartender said, wait, I have an idea. I'll turn the stool over, and we'll have 4 seats for Mark and his 3 fag friends.
Whew.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us. Either he made that up or the bartender really said that. Either way, I don't know. Good evening.
Yeah, hi. I have a message for you from Kibbert and Lister.
Okay.
They're on their way up to the radio station with some crates, and I want to know if you could pop the bridge door open for them.
Well, actually, you know, I just saw them through the glass.
Really?
Yeah, so either this history is repeating itself or they managed to get in somehow.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Maybe they're coming back. Either way, I'll... have somebody take care of it. 632-6901, area code 516. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to say happy birthday to The Edge, which is yesterday.
To what?
The edge.
The edge. Okay.
Of YouTube.
Okay.
And
go ahead, say it.
Happy birthday, Edge.
All right, there you go.
Thanks.
Is that it?
Can I say hi to my friend Lauren, Steve, Jen, and my friend Marita?
Okay, go ahead.
My friend Marita, who was supposed to come to a U2 concert with us, but now she's stuck in Nova Scotia.
How did that happen?
Well, her family decided to take a trip since her children are rebelling on her.
Really?
So they took a trip up to Canada, and their transmission broke down or something like that.
Okay. So now they're stuck up there.
So now they're stuck, and she won't be home in time for the U2 concert, the 12th.
Are you reading more into this than might seem at first?
No.
You say the children are rebelling, and now they're stranded, and there's nothing they can do. kind of convenient, wouldn't you say?
No, I'm just saying they're stuck there.
Uh-huh.
And
are you in telephone contact with them?
No.
Really? So how do you know this?
Well, they called someone, and someone called us.
Uh-huh.
So she's probably crying her brains out right now, really upset.
Now, if this was a TV show, you two would, like, go up there and visit her just to make her feel better.
I think they really should.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can, you know, get a whole lot of people involved on this. Maybe we can do just that. After all, you know, we're one of the radio stations that was most responsible for you two making it to the top. They even said that themselves.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a result, they offered us tickets at a discount.
Really?
Which was really nice of them. Yes.
Yeah. So, I feel really bad for her.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, but, you know, there'll be other U2 concerts, and there'll be other bands, too.
We're going to the one also in Yankee Stadium, the 29th.
Yeah. Well, you know, a stadium is not really the best place to see a rock band, I don't think. I mean, it's too big.
Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, how can you see a good rock concert with 50,000 people, you know?
Yeah, we have really bad seats also. But
really?
We'll still be in there with them.
Behind home base, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. Rock concerts, I think, are best in small, intimate gatherings.
Well, a lot of people are good also, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, acoustics, you know, it takes... Yeah, you know, you hear the baseball announcers saying, you know, whatever over the loudspeakers, and it takes 10 seconds for it to get to you. The music, it goes all over the place. You know, hits off the subway station, hits off the backfield wall, and it makes for a very confusing sound. The dead are always good at the stadium, because you want that confused sound for them. But, you know, for mainstream rock bands, I don't know, it just doesn't work somehow.
True.
Just I don't mean to, you know, ruin it for you or anything like that. I'm just making my statements here. Okay, well, let us know how it goes.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
How you doing?
I got this really cool book today, Walden Books.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen Saturday Night Live Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy?
I've seen a couple of them, yes.
I got a whole book full of them. Can I read some?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, this one's really good. I can still remember Mr. Barnslow getting out every morning and nailing a fresh load of tadpoles to that old board of his. Then he'd spin it round and round like a wheel of fortune, and no matter where it stopped, he'd yell out, "Tadpoles! Tadpoles is the winner!" We all thought he was crazy, but then we had some growing up to do. Great. I have some other ones, too. I'll just read one more.
Okay.
To me, this one's funny.
Yeah, you gotta make it through it, though.
Okay. To me, clowns aren't funny. In fact, they're kind of scary. I've wondered where this started. I think it goes back to the time I went to the circus and a clown killed my dad.
Oh, that could do it, yeah.
Zach, I like you. You're cool, man.
Yeah.
Let me stay on. But I don't like you in a friend kind of way. I like you in a present kind of way.
All right, enough of that. Good morning.
Hi, Eric. I got a story that's interesting today.
You don't have to...
You know the martial arts team?
Can I just say one thing? You don't have to scream. Okay, talk in a lower tone of voice.
Sorry.
All right.
You know the Montreal Expos baseball team?
Now say that a little slower and
Oh, the Montreal Expos, they're a baseball team?
I know that, yes.
Okay, so mascot, Yuvi, he accidentally this week punched the kid in the face and broke the kid's nose, and he's getting sued.
How do you accidentally punch somebody in the face?
He was climbing up one of the orange bars, like, above the dugout.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of, like, stuck his arm out, and it was like a little kid, and he broke his nose, and the kid's showing. He was doing like acrobatic stuff and kind of.
What was the kid's face doing there?
What?
What was the kid's face doing there?
Yeah, he was sitting down watching the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's and what was this guy that did it? It was the mascot?
Yeah, Yuvi. He like orange There's a little orange ball with antennas.
Uh-huh.
It's my idol.
Well, I guess he couldn't really see what he was doing then, could he?
All right.
I guess they have video of this, don't they?
Yeah, I saw it on Sports Channel.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the kind of thing you see on Sports Channel.
Do you watch it?
No, but I know that's the kind of thing you see. If you want to see a kid's jaw being broken, that's the place to turn.
I'm off. All right. I got a question for you. Seriously.
Go ahead.
All right. You know, it's great that the Olympic team won the gold medal.
Uh-huh.
But what happened if Magic Johnson bled? Would the crowd?
All right. 632-6901, area code 516. Let's see if we can get some help here, some guidance. Doesn't sound like he's home. I'm going to try a little trick here. Sometimes this works.
This is the White House press office for Friday, August 7th. In remarks at the top of a news conference at the White House today, President Bush voiced optimism on employment in the United States, said he will not rest until the international community gains access to all detention camps in Bosnia, and pledged to demand Iraq comply with all UN resolutions. The president's remarks are 3 minutes 15 seconds and begin on my count. 3, 2, 1.
Well, I'm pleased that the unemployment rate declined by 0.1% in July, and it shows that about 200,000 new jobs were created in that month. I simply cannot be satisfied until every American that wants a job has one. And we must work to ensure that economic growth is strong enough to bring unemployment down rapidly. It's interesting that just that 0.1% resulted in that many jobs. Our household employment survey reported a drop in unemployed persons by 215,000, and the 198,000 new jobs that were created in July is the most since December of last year. And also the number of people employed in May and June was revised upward by 80,000. Some good precursors of stronger growth are definitely in place. For example, interest rates and inflation are at their lowest level in a generation, creating conditions for sustained growth. But there's also a restructuring underway of the management and operation of many of our larger companies. And they're adjusting to a more competitive national and international environment. And as this takes place, it is crucial that we continue to expand our markets abroad, to accelerate our job training, and to reform our educational system so that tomorrow's workforce is the most competitive in the world. Now let me turn to the subject I talked a little about yesterday, the terrifying violence that's occurring in Bosnia. The pictures of the prisoners rounded up by the Serbian forces and being held in these detention camps are stark evidence of the need to deal with this problem effectively. And the world cannot shed its horror at the prospect of concentration camps. The shocking brutality of genocide in World War II, in those concentration camps, are burning memories for all of us. And that can't happen again. And we will not rest until the international community has gained access to any and all detention camps. As I said yesterday, let no one think there is an easy or simple solution to this tragedy. But we are taking the complex and strong steps necessary to bring humanitarian relief to the people of Bosnia and political resolution to the crisis in that country. And finally, we continue to work with the United Nations to monitor the situation in Iraq. We have great confidence in Mr. Akaius and his inspection team as they pursue compliance with the United Nations resolutions. And once again, we're hearing the bluster of Saddam Hussein. He speaks of Kuwait is the 19th province, and he threatens not to allow inspection of his ministries. And we will continue to demand full compliance with all resolutions, but we will speak with the measured confidence of a nation and a community of nations that is totally dedicated to seeing every single one of these United Nations resolutions fully enforced.
This is the White House press office.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
You watch, you feeling fine. Don't pull back the dictatorial line. Used to be the right was right, but now pull back to the reason to fight. Liars!
Oh, when they dig at your front door, how are you gonna jump? With your hands on your head, or on the trigger of your gun? When the law breaks in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement, away in the dead road. Hamburgers, computers, but you're not too answer to. The money feels good, your life you like it well. But surely your time will come, as in heaven, as in hell. Like Ivan, born under the Brixton sun. His game is called Byron. At the end, in the heart of a camp, you know it means no mercy. They got him with a gun. No need for the white boy riot. Say goodbye to the Brixton sun. You can't crush us, we can bruise us, but you'll have to want to do.
On your soul, sign up here for complete control. Shout full tax business, set them free. Your community charge for the TSC.
The shutdown on pavement, waiting in death row. This game was called survivor. I can heaven, I can hell. You can't run that, you can prove that. But you'll have to want to do.
You know, a lot of these songs are starting to sound better than the Clash versions. Guns of Brixton comes from the Blaggers ITA off the Clash tribute, The Never-Ending Story, Part 1, which I believe you can only get as an import on Released Emotions Records. And I found it in a record store in Chicago, and one was also cited in New York. So they're out there, you just got to find them. 632-6901, we heard from George Bush, the real one, and now we're going to hear from you. Good morning. Hello. Well, unfortunately, sometimes people don't have anything to say. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. My name is Pete Tyrone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, should be allowed to curse in other languages on a station?
Not this one.
You're not allowed to curse in other languages?
Not this one, no.
Is it FCC rule or your rule?
That's FCC.
Oh. Why does everybody think that black people can't talk right?
I can't imagine why anybody would think that. Good morning.
Hey,
anybody there? Guess. Go ahead.
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's going okay. I mean, you know, got kind of crazy phone calls on the radio, but other than that, things are fine.
I've been waiting since before 12 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Well, how can you be waiting before 12 o'clock? I mean, we weren't on until 12 o'clock.
Well, if you call, like, 2-3 minutes before 12 o'clock, you can get through.
Well, actually, I happen to know that Kevin forwarded all the phone calls to a busy signal, so nobody would have gotten through before 12. What's that?
I called a couple minutes before and I got through.
Uh-huh. And you're saying I just got to you now?
Yeah.
How is that possible? There's just only 5 lines on the phone. I've gone through the 5 several times.
Mm-hmm. I've been waiting.
It's been ringing continuously since then?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know. I can't explain that.
Do you know I got a call with the, Deep Thoughts?
Yeah.
From saying that last?
Yeah.
That was funny that he didn't say.
What's that? Speak up.
There's one that he didn't say that I thought was funny.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot he didn't say, but which one?
No, it's not there, though.
Okay, which one?
Okay, there was this... Oh, all right. The one thing I would like to see is naked opera singers. So when they hit a high note, you could really see those genitals.
Uh-huh. All
right, don't hang up, so...
I wasn't about to.
Also, you're not allowed to talk about other people on USB, right?
Yeah, FCC rule.
How come?
Well, I don't question. I just obey. It's wrong to question. You should know that.
You should. This is America.
This is America?
I mean, like, wait.
That's communist talk. This is America.
Yeah, but, like, radio was, like, the First Amendment. Freedom of speech, right?
Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, so, like, they take away your freedom of speech and your freedom of opinion.
Yeah. And that's, you look upon that as a bad thing, huh?
Yes, it is.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I guess I could bring it up at the next board meeting.
Is it, like, are you allowed to talk about them if it's a fact?
Well, it depends. You know, facts are fiction to some people, you see.
Mm.
There are no absolutes, especially in radio.
Do you know Mark Gunning?
Yes.
Is he actually gay?
Well, what difference does it make?
What?
What difference does it make?
No, because there's rumors.
He hosts a gay show. Okay.
You don't have to be gay.
Well, that's true. But I guess I would explain why there were rumors. But again, it's a matter of personal, choice or whatever. Whether you are or aren't, whether you choose to tell people or not, you know, it really makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you feel otherwise?
Well, about what?
About, you know, whether or not it makes a difference.
Yes, it does, I think.
Okay, well, why?
If you're gay, you'd have more experience.
You have more experience?
You'd have more experience if you hosted a gay show.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have to be, I guess, the free country.
No, well, I mean, yeah, as far as hosting a gay show, I guess it would be better to be gay if you were hosting a gay show. But I'm saying, you know, in general, you know, in mainstream society and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't, like, have the limp wrist and everything.
He what?
He doesn't have, like, limp wrist and all that.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, that's a categorization that does not hold true. There's a lot of quote unquote limp-wristed people who are straight. Well, I put quotes around that too. So again, physical appearance really means very little.
What?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's always been true. It's just maybe we're finally starting to realize that now. People that you think are one way, you know, or another. I'm not just talking about in a sexual sense. I'm talking about all kinds of things. Somebody you look at that looks like they're, you know, a conservative jerk is actually a liberal jerk. And there's all kinds of differences. You cannot judge people either by the way they sound on the phone, by the way they look. You really have to judge them by the things they say and the things they do. And you cannot possibly judge somebody until you know them. I don't think so. I don't see how. Yet we continue to judge people based on religion, based on the way they look, sexual orientation, nationality. You know, it's just never an end to this. And we keep making the same mistakes.
Yeah, I agree, sort of.
Yeah? Well, do you not agree with anything?
Until I'm a communist, right?
What?
Until I'm a communist.
Well, I meant that in a nice way.
What's wrong with communism?
Well, it's kind of dead, isn't it?
Not in China.
That's true, you know. A lot of people are forgetting that. There's a couple of billion people over there that have not yet buried communism. I don't know why we aren't really paying attention to that, but I guess, you know, they're not a threat to us or anybody else, even though they do oppress their people somewhat fierce.
For as long as anybody can remember, probably. It's in, like, all the history books, yeah.
Yeah?
been around in like 1800s. It's even been around, right?
What's been around?
Communism in China.
Oh, I thought you were talking about homosexuality. Both of them have been around for some time, but I think communism has been around as long. It's just a form of of government. There's various forms of government that, you know, come and go, and fortunately democracy seems to be here for a while, and communism, I'm sure, will evolve into something else, but most forms of government are well-intentioned, at least at first.
Mm. And I think Ice-T has no guts whatsoever.
Who has no guts?
Well, yeah, because...
Ice-T?
Yeah, because the song Cop Killer...
Right.
His song, it's like... even though he got bomb threats and death threats to his band and everybody, he still kept it on.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think it was like Dan Quayle that got a little upset, so he takes off the album.
Yeah. I don't understand why he did that. I mean, he obviously had a lot of pressure, but, he put it out for a reason, and I think, he should have kept it on. Even if it was a mistake, even if he agreed that it was a mistake, it's still, you can't change history. You can't just erase something and say that... it didn't exist and it shouldn't be on the record. He released it and it should stay because, he did. And it's there. And that's it. It's like making a chess move. You can't take it back.
I don't play chess, so.
Well, if you did, you'd know that when you release the piece, you can't take back the move. And I think the same thing should hold for films, for records, for books, for magazines, for anything that is released to the public. You can't just take it back and start over.
Yeah, like in sex. You can't go in and just pull out.
Yeah, I guess there's something
there for
like...
the long haul.
Uh-huh, right, yeah. So there's a parallel there someplace.
Yeah, I guess you could find one.
Yeah, if you look hard.
Yes.
So, anything else?
I've been waiting so long, I forgot.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to say hi to a few people.
I guess you could do that.
Thank you. Mike, Jay, Matt, Jeremy, Chris, Kev, Tom. That's all I can remember.
Okay. Isn't there a Tim?
Yeah, I forgot.
Isn't there a Tim in there, too?
Tim?
Yeah. Is there?
Not that I can remember.
Oh, okay. I thought there was always a Tom and a Tim somewhere. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Or maybe I'm in another time zone.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And hi to you, Ark. Because nobody ever says hi to you and... Yes, about it, so.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Eric.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
632-6901. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Not much. Why?
Listen, I was just wondering. I just want to start off by saying thanks a lot, Rob, for sticking with us.
For sticking with you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure there's some big story that's concerning that we'll find out about when the book is written.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, who's this guy that keeps calling up with all these... talking about, like, black people and gay people and everything. It's really annoying.
I don't know. I don't think it's just one person. I think it's, a bunch of sophomoric people.
Oh, I heard this really cool commercial on, and I don't know if a lot of people heard it, but it's for Kool-Aid. Can I sing the song?
Can you sing a song? I guess that's for you to determine.
Okay, cool. Here it goes. I make Kool-Aid for my family. Do 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 do. I make picture after picture. Do 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 do. I make Kool-Aid for my family.
I wonder how you managed to make your voice sound like two voices at once like that.
Cause that's the voice on the commercial.
Uh huh.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Now, what exactly was that?
That was a Kool-Aid commercial.
A Kool-Aid commercial. They still have Kool-Aid?
Yes.
Really? Boy, I would think that, Jim Jones sort of killed it, but I guess
who?
Not. You know, the guy who killed all those people in Guyana?
I don't know about him.
I don't believe it. History's been completely rewritten.
I guess so.
He gave everybody tainted, it wasn't lemon, it was Kool-Aid. Everybody tainted Kool-Aid, and they all drank it, and they all died. This is the ministry.
That's bad.
Well, yeah, most people tend to think so.
I just want to say something else. I want to say, Jeremy has to call, okay, and I'm done now.
Okay.
So I'm going to go, all right, Eric?
All right. Fine with me. 632-6901. Of course, he didn't say what Jeremy had to call. I'm sure he knows what it is he has to call, whether it's us or some other number. Good morning.
Greetings, humanoids.
How you doing? What planet are you calling from?
This is Stiltskin.
friends.
Oh, no.
Yes,
you've
I'm back.
Be kidding.
I've made a triumphant return.
You've got to be kidding. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Obviously, your voice is quite different.
Yes.
But maybe there is some other identifying factor that you could use that we know that you're not an imposter.
Well, it has been many years since I've talked to you.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know, testosterone has taken its effect.
Yeah,
it
certainly has. But again, is there anything that you can use to verify your identity?
Shall we start off talking about you, you hooligan, with your this article that I saw, I read in Newsday about one Emmanuel Goldstein and possible lawsuits being filed against?
I think this must have something to do with another part of life that I deal with, yes.
Yes, have you discussed this with your listeners?
Not really. I mean, maybe you'd like to do that since you brought it up.
Well, I read an article about one Emmanuel Goldstein and possible lawsuits being filed against him for sort of electronic trespass.
Well, no, it wasn't that at all. Actually, it was basically the fact that at 2600 Magazine, which is the hacker magazine that I'm part of, we printed an article that Bellcore, which is the research arm of the Bell Operating Companies, they didn't like the fact that we printed this information. It was leaked to us in much the same way that documents are leaked to all kinds of magazines. And we didn't print the document. We printed a story about the documents, and they're threatening to sue us because we revealed information they didn't want revealed. And, you know, our basic stand is that's too bad. The document was leaked to us. We had every right to report on it, and we stand by that. Of course, they're trying to intimidate us with, threats of lawsuits and things like that, and we're not, you know, as big as the Washington Post, but we still stand by the First Amendment.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, very good. Good, besides your journalistic endeavors, I'd like to congratulate you on your, I'd like to inform all the listeners that you're a master thespian, and I deeply enjoyed you in the vignette that you performed in for the incoming freshman. I thought you did an excellent job in it.
I performed a vignette?
Was that not you?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. I know what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. I'd like to...
No, wait a minute. Wait just 1 minute here. That was not me. All right, that was somebody playing me, but that was not me. I just want to make that absolutely clear.
They had a 2600 shirt on. They identified themselves as Emmanuel.
Oh, no.
And they did look a bit like you.
Yeah, well, in fact, there was a Halloween costume that was making the rounds.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe this. Does that mean you're an incoming freshman here?
No, it does not mean that. But
how is it you happen to see that, then?
I'm an interloper, so to speak.
An interloper? One of these people that wanders around?
Well, I did the Ed Grimley dance on the stage in the Union.
You did the Ed Grimley dance?
Yes, so to speak.
That's what became of you, huh?
Well, I resorted to some low-life things.
Wow. So what else is up with you?
I heard that Mr. Radio has made a triumphant return to the Long Island Airwaves.
Has he?
He is back in the area, so to speak. Did you not read that in Paul Colford's comments?
I just read that he was thinking of putting out his radio report again if enough people called him and told him to do it.
Do you have that article?
I don't have the article, but I saw it.
I lost the phone number and I was looking to get in.
Well, you can probably go to the go to the library and find it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So what else has been going on in WUSB?
WUSB here. Well, we're still kicking. We've got all kinds of new programs and new voices and things like that. Still trying to get the transmitter moved. Waiting for FCC approval.
Where are you moving the transmitter?
To Bald Hill.
Oh, in Selden?
Yep.
And where is it now? On top of Union?
It's on top of the Grad Chem building, which is probably the worst site in the world to put a transmitter.
Why don't they put it on top of the hospital?
Because they're afraid that would interfere with patients' life support systems.
They don't have enough antennas on there already.
Yeah, but I think an FM antenna might actually do something. And, you know, our argument was that, you know, a few lives really, you know... Well, you have to measure certain things. Like, the entertainment value given to Long Island, how many lives is that worth per year? We think 7 is fine. They think it's more like 3. And we just couldn't close that gap.
Don't they have amateur radio equipment up there?
I'm not sure what they have up there.
Oh,
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
I think they're giving you the shaft.
Well, you know, it's sort of the thing to do is to give USB the shaft, but but we don't mind. We take it all with humor.
Uh-huh, excellent.
Yeah.
One thing I would like to comment on.
Okay.
Your program is deteriorated. It seems like you have the same, like, five callers every week. It's difficult to get through.
Well, it's difficult to get through because the phone lines are always busy.
Well, it's the same five people calling you.
Well, a lot of them do seem to have speed dials or something like that. But
rare that,
we do open up the other lines sometimes. It's just I didn't feel like it this week.
It's rare that I hear a new call on. It seems to be the same three people getting on three times a week.
Uh-huh.
All right, but aside from that, I'll get off and let other people talk.
All right, well, it's good to hear from you again.
All right, and if Mr. Radio is out there, I do have the same phone number, that big geek. And, all right.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Daniel, toodaloo.
Oh, you too. Wow, a voice from the past. And I guess if people listen to Brain Damage for years, they might have recognized, well, they recognized the name, but not the name of Stiltskin. Not the voice. The voice has certainly changed. Almost like Andrew Goldberger. I don't know what became of him. Probably a college professor somewhere by now. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
How you doing?
Not really. I think you're a great talk show host, I swear.
Well, that's nice to say.
You're like my favorite, man.
I have my doubts, but, yeah, it's all thanks anyway.
Dude, no, really, man. I listen to you every week.
Every week, huh?
Tremendous.
Wow.
So what do you think about Clinton's bus ride through like, the country, like,
well,
on campaigning?
I think it's pretty cool to take a bus ride, you know?
Yeah.
It beats Air Force One, that's for sure.
Huh?
It's kind of a homey thing to do. I think it was a good move to do that.
Homey?
Yeah, you know, a down-home kind of a thing.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Huh?
And, you know, you got close to the people that way.
Huh. Well, Mike, I called.
Uh-huh.
And so, what's up with you?
What's up with me? Not a whole lot. Just talking about world affairs and things like that.
I was just talking about there's nothing else to do for me inside the United except listen to your show.
Really? Boy, that's, you've come down pretty low, haven't you?
Fuck you, Eric.
All right. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, man.
How you doing?
Public.
Yeah? What's up?
Yeah, my name is Public Enema.
Uh-huh. Anything you have to say?
Yeah.
What's
about
that?
Clinton.
Yeah?
And his bus rides, man.
Yeah?
We know what he does on those bus rides, man. He jerks off, man.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I would just like to say you were talking about communism dying before.
Yeah.
Well, what about Cuba also?
Yeah, Cuba's still going pretty strong, but it's hard to imagine how they're able to survive. It really is. I mean, they're really an island in the middle of an unfriendly ocean.
Well, one Cuban fighter, he's so brainwashed, he's like, I must win for my country.
Uh-huh.
And every time Cuba won a medal, they'd say, oh, that's another medal to Cuba. Not another medal to a Cuban.
Yeah, good point.
And speaking of Cuba, they have a sign that has a picture of Marx, Karl Marx, a picture of Lenin, and then a picture of Castro all in a line.
Uh-huh.
And translated from Spanish, since it's in Cuba, it says Marxism, Leninism, or death.
Well, that's an interesting choice there.
But I think
a lot of people got the death in the Soviet.
I think it should be changed to Marxism, Leninism, and death.
You think it all goes together, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, like I said, most governments begin with good intentions. And I think communism sort of went awry, you know?
Well, I see your point.
Yeah.
I hear the theme music coming on. Does that mean you're...
Yeah, I hear it too. I guess that's the automatic system kicking in, telling us it's time to start thinking about going elsewhere.
Okay.
You know, it happens now and then.
What's the deal with this Star 5-7 thing?
That's if you want to report an annoying or harassing phone call, you dial Star 5-7 and it reports it someplace. I haven't had a chance to play with it myself yet.
Well, I thought you don't get it in Stoneford.
Well, we don't get it here, but that's why I haven't had a chance to play with it. Once it comes here, I'll be playing with it, and then I can tell you what it does.
But also playing with Star 69 and 66 when it goes down.
Yeah, and all the other star numbers. And by the way, if you don't have a touch-tone phone, you can dial 11 instead of star, and that'll work.
Yeah, they have the, that's for rotary.
Right.
Who has a rotary nowadays?
I have a rotary.
Yeah?
Well, I have all kinds of things, but I do have a rotary as well.
I'm sorry if I offended you.
Well, no, you didn't offend me. It's just, you know, there are people like that that exist.
Okay.
We should start a club or something.
The Rotary Phone Owners of America.
It's a good idea. It has a nice ring to it.
Well, you'll have to see what the initial stands for.
Yeah. I'll have to spell that out one day. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good morning.
Yeah, what's up?
You know how many people have asked me that question tonight?
How many, Eric?
About 17, and I never have come up with an answer, because I can never answer that question. All my life, I've been trying to answer the question, what's up? I don't know. Nothing's up. Nothing's ever up. Nothing changes. It's all the same.
No, come on, you know what you do, Tom?
Sorry, what?
Moon, the stars, and the sun. That's up.
Yeah, but I hate people that answer like that. What's up? A direction. You know, I hate people like that. In fact, I once punched somebody for saying that.
You did?
Yeah, in fact, I'm still paying off the settlement for that one, but I guess that's one of the reasons why I don't like the question.
You exaggerate sometimes.
I never exaggerate. Why? Did somebody tell you I did?
Oh, I don't know. Just an impression.
Well, write that impression out.
Hey, do you suffer from SPS?
What's SPS? Sudden death syndrome or something like that?
Close.
Well, no, I don't. Whatever it is.
It will be answered in weeks to come.
It will be.
Yes, it will.
Well, explain a little further then, please.
Hold on a minute, right?
A minute? Wait, this is a radio talk show. I can't hold on.
2 seconds, then.
One.
Nope.
All right. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
All right. That's it. I'm out of here. I'll see you next week. Good night.
morning. This is Nick Fury, subbing for the big guy. I'll be here for the next 2 hours. And if you'd like to hear anything, give me a call, 632-6901. No more brain damage calls. Eric's gone, so just let me know what you'd like to hear.